Okay, today we're going to talk about what happens if a person is in a place that does not have an Eruv, either never had an Eruv, or the Eruv comes down on Shabbos and he just finds out about it, and he's walking in the street and he discovers that he's got something in his pocket, whatever, a tissue, Listerine strips, whatever he's got, whatever people normally keep in their pockets, he discovers in his pocket as he's walking outside in the street. So if a person discovers that he's carrying something in a Rishos HaRabim, so you have to do whatever you can to minimize the Isser that is being violated. We know that in general there are two Isserim. There's an Isser of Hotza'a from a Rishos HaYachid to a Rishos HaRabim, and then there's an Isser if you're Mavir Dalet Amos in a Rishos HaRabim. So every Dalet Amos that you're Mavir something is also an Isser. So assuming that that you're in a situation where the akira was made in a way that was misasik. In order to do an act of hotzah, you need akira and hanacha. That akira, you pick up the item somewhere, and hanacha, you place it down either 4 amos away in Rosh Hashanah, or you pick it up in Rosh Hashanah, put it down in Rosh Hashanah, pick it up in Rosh Hashanah, put it down in Rosh Hashanah. Good. So if the akira was done in a way that was misasik, that you had no intention whatsoever, you didn't even realize you were holding something, you just walked out of your house and you didn't even realize that there was anything in your pocket. So that sort of knocks down the Isser, at least to a Drabanan, right? It makes the Isser much less of an Isser, because part of the fundamental definition of the Isser was done in a Misasik way. But having said that, the Dagum Ravava, the Nadbiud and the Sadhu Sulkar, the Dagum Ravava, Reisam Ravav, Sivkan Yud, says that you still have to, you can't just put it down. You still have to take other steps to try to avoid doing a regular hanacha. And there are several questions that one has to go through to figure out how to best go about doing that, how to best go about doing a proper hanacha. First, you have to figure out what kind of rishus are you in. Are you in a rishus harabim d'oraisa? Are you in a karmelis? You also have to figure out, is the act of carrying that you're doing, is it a misasik? We also have to cheshbon, how much money is the item that you're carrying worth? If you just leave it in the middle of nowhere, is that a hefsid meruba, or is it not a hefsid meruba? What if you stopped walking since you've left? I mean, you went out to the Rosh Hashanah, then you stopped, and then you started walking again. So now your akira was not in the Rosh Hashayachid, your akira is in the Rosh Hashanah. What if right now you're stopped? So if you were to start walking again with the item still in your pocket, you're going to be doing a new akira. So these are all the complicated cheshbonos that a person has to make. So one of the simple etzas is that a person realizes that he's carrying a Shabbos. So a lot of times, first person has to train himself how to react. A lot of times, person's first reaction is to just stop, to think about it. That is the worst thing you could do, because if you stop to think about it, then by definition, the next time you start moving, you're going to be carrying with a new akira. You're going to be making an akira that's not a misasik. So that's a very bad thing to do. On the other hand, to just keep on walking and walking, then you're going to go more than 4 amos. So the postman suggests is, while you're mulling over your possibilities, walk in circles for a few minutes while you're thinking about it. Don't stop walking, keep walking, but stay within Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, so that you have time to cheshbon what you could do. So the best aid, so they say, if you're not confident in your knowledge of the halachos to figure out the best way to do it, you should just drop the object with a shinoi. Put it on drop the object, not where you are, on the front lawn of the closest house. Drop it with a shinoi. What does it mean, drop it with a shinoi? Put it over on your shoulder and just let it slip off your shoulder on the front lawn of the nearest house. Why the front lawn of the nearest house? Because the street or the sidewalk, the Bir Halacha writes, when there's no Erev, we have to assume or be concerned for the possibility that a 16 Amma street may be a Rosh HaSarabim, the sidewalk may be Tzidei Rosh HaSarabim, or may be part of the Rosh HaSarabim. A private front lawn is not meant for public traffic, and therefore it's a karmelis. So it minimizes the issue significantly when you drop it on the front lawn. Now, if the front lawn is surrounded by a fence, it's surrounded by mechitzos, then it would be Rosh HaSiyachid, not a karmelis. That would be the wrong front lawn to drop it on. You want to drop it on a front lawn that does not have mechitzos around it. So that's one option. Find the closest house and drop it with a shinoi, and in that way you've avoided in some way the hanacha. But now let's assume that you're within a Carmelis, not a Rosh Hashanah, that our streets typically, and this is the way we generally assume, that they're a Carmelis, they're not a Rosh Hashanah, and you're walking in the street, you discover something in your pocket. So if one of the options the Poskim suggests, Dalgum Ravava on the spot, as I mentioned before, suggests you should go to run back to your house from that you came from, and drop it back there. Even then, if you're going to do that, you don't need to drop it with the shinoi. You go back to the house, the same house that you came from. Now, l'chora, that's a difficult etzah to understand. Why do you have to bring it to the same Rishus HaYachid? L'chora, you could have brought it back to any other Rishus HaYachid, meaning you brought the item out of a Rishus HaYachid. So what are you accomplishing by bringing it back to your house? You bring it back to a Rishus HaYachid. So you didn't bring it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, you brought it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. So what difference does it make if you bring it from a Rishus HaYachid back to the same Rishus HaYachid or to a different Rishus HaYachid? So a couple of reasons that it may make a difference. Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Shin Mem Zayin, Sif Zayin, says that even though there's a heter to move a child, let's say, from Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid for the sake of a milah by having one person be oker and the other person be maniach, but if there are diurim b'chatzar beis hakneses, if there are different places where people live in the chatzar beis hakneses, then we don't allow it because you're violating the isser of eruv chatzeros. Meaning, to transfer something from one Rishus HaYachid to a different Rishus HaYachid on a doraisa level is zero. It's fine. It's nothing. It's not a problem. But the Chamorim is talking something called Erev Chatzeros, which means that you're not even allowed to take something from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. By bringing the item into another Rosh Hashanah, it may not be a violation of anything Midaraisa, but it's a violation of Eruve Chatzeros, and you don't want to violate Eruve Chatzeros, so better to go bring it back home to the Rosh Hashanah that you came from. It could also be that when you bring it back to the Rosh Hashanah that you came from, it's not called Hotza'a. You never brought it out. You never brought it out to somewhere else. And it's only usur because of a chashash of that you might come to drop it in Rosh Hashanah. Why is it that I'm not allowed to do this l'chadchila? Pick something up in my house, walk outside and walk right back into my house. It's not hotza'a. I didn't bring anything out. I never put it down outside. I was never motzi from one rishus to another rishus. I ended up in the same place I was before. No, it's a concern. It's a chashash that you might come to drop something in the Rosh Hashanah. So that is much less of an iser than being motzi from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah by walking through a Rosh Hashanah or a Carmelis. So that's why they recommend going back home to the same house. But the Chacham were misakin Dafka, Shabbos, Daf Kupin, and Gilman Beis, they have to run, not walk. Because by running, you'll remember not to stop. If you run, you'll remember that I better not stop in the middle. If you stop in the middle again, that's the worst thing you could do. So just keep on moving, because you don't want to have an akira or an achas. So you keep on moving, and you run back home. Now, very often, what happens? You run back home, and then you have to stop. Why do you have to stop? Because you got to open the door. So is that called stopping? Is that going to be called a new akira? So usually, if you're going to have to stop, it's best to just throw the object into the backyard or onto an enclosed porch. It's part of the rishus, that same rishus hayachid, and that way you don't have to stop to worry about the door. But it is somewhat questionable whether stopping to open the door is called stopping. Mishnah Berurah in Shaar Tzion, Siman Shin Mem Tes, Sifkat Nilches, says Lanias Daiti Nira Bardul Kuli Alma Min Atora Mikri Amida Afilu Lo Amud Lafash Behedya. That if for whatever reason you stop, not because you need to rest, but for some reason you just couldn't go anymore, like you needed to open the door, that is called amida. The only time that stopping is not called stopping is if it's to adjust a package. If you're holding something and you just need to adjust it a little bit as you're walking, so that's just derech halicha, that's just the way that you would walk, then it wouldn't be called stopping. But in this case, Mishbur is machmir, that it would be called stopping, so better to leave it in the backyard or on a porch. If a person did stop walking, even if he continued to walk after that, then you should not go back to the Rosh Hashanah. That would be a very bad thing to do, to go back to Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because if you stopped walking in the street, and then you started walking on the street, now you did an akira in a Rosh Hashanah. Going back to the Rosh Hashanah is then going to be being motzi something from Rosh Hashanah, being machne something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So that would not be a good idea. So what other options does one have? So another option is to find yourself a good makom p'tur. If you put it down on a makom ptur, so then it's going to be good. A makom, what is the definition of a makom ptur? So our streets generally have a din of a karmelis. Most poskim hold that a makom ptur within a karmelis, in order for it to be a makom ptur, has to be 10 tefachim high, and it definitely needs to be less than 4x4 tefachim of surface area on top. Traditionally, people used to always say, a fire hydrant, that's a perfect makom ptur. It is not a perfect makom ptur, because typically a fire hydrant is less than 10 tefachim high. So there are posts that hold that it is a makom ptur, but it's certainly not ideal, because a makom ptur in a karmelis needs to be 10 tefachim high. What about if you have a fence surrounding a yard? So is that a makom ptur? It's 10 tefachim high, it's less than 4 tefachim of space on top. Can I put it on top of someone's fence? That's also a problem, because the fence usually encloses a yard, and therefore it's enclosing Rosh Hashanah. The fence becomes part of the Rosh Hashayachid. A fence is therefore not a good makom ptur. That is a Rosh Hashayachid. Can't put it on the fence. What if there's a hole in a wall? So if the hole is only facing out toward the street and it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground and the hole does not have a surface area of 4x4 tefachim, good, then it's a makom ptur. How often do you find those? Not so common. If the hole goes all the way through the wall, then it's no good. Then it has a din of Rosh Hashayachid. So what are some common examples of an actual makom ptur? A parking meter is a very good makom ptur. Right, a parking meter is 10 tefachim high, it's less than 4x4 tefachim wide. If you have the ability to put something down on that, that would be a makom ptur. A mailbox is often a good makom ptur. If it's especially if one of those mailboxes on a pole, like if you have in like Muncie, you know, where by the front of the driveway, which is about a mile away from the house, so they have a little post with a mailbox on top of the post, so that's 10 tefachim high, less than 4x4, so that luchora would be another very good makom ptur. A utility pole that has a box sticking out of it sometimes above 10 tefachim also could work as a makom ptur. Now, if you can't find a makom ptur, so a suffix makom ptur, like a fire hydrant, is the next best thing. If you're going to use a suffix makom ptur, probably best to put it down with a shinui, definitely best to put it down with a shinui, not to just put it down directly. If you can't find any makom ptur whatsoever, then the next option is to let the item fall to the ground. Like we said, put it on your shoulder and just let it fall off. All that is if you could just leave the object in the middle of nowhere. What if it has some value? What if it's something that's very expensive? So with the Chachamim realized that, Chazal realized this is going to be a problem. If we tell someone he has to just leave expensive things in the middle of nowhere, then he's going to be tempted to violate the Malacha of Hotzai, and he's going to try to bring it back. So the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf and Gimel tells us a case of a person who's walking when Shabbos is about to begin, and the Chum allow him to transport whatever he has to a secure location. Now, if he doesn't have any of the other options we mentioned before, he could run with it and then drop it with a shinoi in the closest secure place where it'll be protected. Now, the question is, if a person has something of significant value in his pocket on Shabbos, so then not all the poskim are convinced we could apply this kula. Meaning, the case of the Gemara was that you started carrying it before Shabbos. So when you started, it was beheter. But over here, now we're talking about you walked out on Shabbos with it, but the majority of poskim, the Mishnah Berurah and others, majority of poskim seem to assume it's the same, that we would not call that a posheya, and that if he has something of value, he could run to the closest secure location, even if it's very far away, and put it down with the shinoi in the closest secure location. Now if you stopped walking, so then what do you do? So obviously the best thing to do is find a guy. If you stop walking, put it down, have a guy take it and bring it for you. Especially since you're only in a karmelis, you can bring it for you to your house. That's a shvus to shvus b'makom hefsin meruba. If it's a very valuable item, you can ask a guy to do an issur drabanan for you in the case of great loss. What if you can't find a guy? So then poskim discuss, maybe pachos midalat amos. If you have something very expensive, have two people, each carry it less than 4 amos at a time, and maybe that would be a good eitz until you get to a secure place. Suffice it to say, having an Eruv is a very good thing because you avoid all of these problems. But sometimes it happens that you're in a community which doesn't have an Eruv, is not eligible to have an Eruv, where you may have Shailas of Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, or after a storm or something where the Eruv came down and you discover on Shabbos that the Eruv came down. Maybe in a different shir we could discuss what to do if the Eruv comes down on Shabbos. Should you tell people? Should you not tell people about it? Let them just do what they do? Okay, but that's some of the basics.